Aloha, party people. You are listening to Inside the Desert Oasis Room, episode number 77. This episode is sponsored by Tandawai Rum. Since 1854, Tandawai Distillers has been producing quality rum from the Philippines. The indisputable history of their Philippine rum is the foundation of which the Tandawai legacy continues today. Tandawai Asian Rum is made with premium varieties of heirloom sugarcane grown in the Visayas region of the tropical island of the Philippines. It is the same Southeast Asian vintage canes that has been cultivated for centuries in the tropical maritime climate and rich Philippine soil, which makes Tandawai Asian Rum distinctly Filipino. Tandawai Rum also has lots of history in the tropical exotic cocktail era when it first began with Don the Beachcomber and his Filipino barmen in the 1930s. There's evidence that these legendary bartenders created some of the first tropical cocktail recipes using Tandawai Rum. For more information, go to TandawaiUSA.com or stop by Tandawai USA's Facebook page. Today, we hang out with Scotty Shooter from Dirty Dick in Paris, France, and Gustavo Rojas from Frogtown Brewery in Los Angeles, California. This was a fun and spirited talk about the service industry from the different perspectives of a bar owner in France and a brewery owner in the United States, and how the cultures of each of these industries and countries can sometimes vary widely from each other. As always, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we did bringing it to you, and if you enjoyed this episode, I'd like to invite you to subscribe to the podcast. It's free and it will make it easier for you to follow our adventures. Shares on your social media pages are always appreciated, and if you'd like to support the show, please stop by DesertOasisRoom.com and click on the donate button. Every donation, no matter the size, helps keep this podcast coming to you every week. Okay guys, here they are, bar entrepreneurs Scotty Shooter and Gustavo Rojas. Where's my beer?
First things first.
I got to make sure I got a drink in front of me.
It's very important.
Cool. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having us.
For our listeners that don't know, we are recording this remotely today from Rancho de la Rojas.
Yes, absolutely. well said.
Because I think we were supposed to go somewhere else, but then that fell through, so we're at an even better place.
It's amazing. Horrible view.
More better.
So we're calling this the Frog Dick episode?
Frog Dick.
Yes, exactly right. What could go wrong?
So we're joined here with our friends from Frogtown Brewery. And Dirty Dick.
Whoop, whoop.
Hence the name, Frog Dick.
Collabo.
Right?
All right.
And it was a nice surprise to see Scotty Shooter walk into the Tiki T the other day. That was pretty cool.
I always love coming back.
Welcome back home.
Thank you so much.
I was recording an episode with Tiki Co. last week. And we were throwing our dicks on the table. Who was the armpit of Southern California, because I live in the Inland Empire.
Yeah, that's where I'm from, too.
Right. And I know. That's why I'm bringing it up. And those dudes are from Bakersfield. So they were like, dude, I'll go toe-to-toe with you.
That's pretty toe-to-toe.
That's pretty. They might have the edge, though.
I think they have the edge for sure.
Who sucks more? Right.
But they're a cool crew. They made drinks for us while we were recording, and the drinks were excellent. Actually, they were better than I remembered the last time I was there. I still need to find my way over to Dirty Dick.
Yep, you need to come out.
And the last time we talked about the whole story about the name and the history of your bar.
Yeah.
Still a cool story.
Yeah, it was just our fifth birthday last Monday.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
So, did you guys do anything special for that? Or
yes, we had Emperor Norton. Emperor Norton made some Hawaiian tapas, or I guess that's not really the right word, canapes, we could say.
Poopoos.
We had some poke and some stuff like that. We had the Waikikians play live.
Do you guys have Hawaiian food in Paris?
Not that I know of.
So there's like no Hawaiian barbecue or...
Not at all.
What about Korean food?
There is.
They do the kalbi ribs.
Definitely
the short
Korean
ribs.
Food.
Right. So you can get something like that, but you can't get like... I guess they do like barbecue beef and barbecue chicken, like a teriyaki style, or I guess that's still kind of really more Hawaiian.
Not at all.
Okay.
No, it doesn't exist. But we don't have a kitchen. This was just a, we had a special guy, Omid from Ipper Norton, come
right.
and do the...
I'm just talking about in general in Paris.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not one place.
Speaking of which, is there anything out there that you miss when... You're there and you know that, I mean, you grew up in Southern California, so like, for example, really good Mexican food.
El Pastor, tortas.
He misses me.
He
Gustavo
misses your frog
well.
Dick.
Gustavo.
El Pastor is his pet name for me.
By the way, do frogs have dicks? I know they have asses that are watertight.
I keep Thompson's water seal.
Is a frog's ass watertight?
Well, do frogs have dicks? I'm sure they must.
So 5 years, man, that's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, thank you. It's great. Really happy about it. The bar's working great. The team's working hard and keep moving our way up, you know?
So you've got 5 years under your belt. What would you say is the biggest thing that you didn't expect in the past 5 years?
Going bankrupt after the second year because we had to
close.
Oh,
did you really?
Yeah, we not because of the lack of clients. The bar has been, you know, very, very blessed to be busy since we opened the door. But actually, the noise from the neighbor.
Okay.
For about a year and a half, we had no music at all, like zero music,
right?
Which was very hard to do, to make a vibe with that.
Right,
and then
right.
we still did, and then we had to close to redo the ceilings. It ended up taking 2 months and $60,000 plus everyone's wages. So
wow,
we almost didn't come back from that one.
Wow,
that was pretty wow. close. But now it's soundproof, and we can play music.
That well. Is kind of strange to have a. If you don't have any kind of music, there's just no vibe.
Especially in a tropical cocktail bar.
Now, is it like here, do you need like a cabaret license and you have to kind of jump through a few hoops?
Music-wise, no. I mean, what we have, you have to buy from this from France, like sound limiters, compressors, things like this.
You just have to soundproof the space.
You have to soundproof it, but as well, there's always a compressor and there's a microphone that reads every decibel of noise, even to just putting a cup on the table like that.
Wow.
And it'll compress the sound to whatever decibel you're allowed to have. So.
Right. What kind of bands do you have play now? Or is it bands or DJs?
It was the first band we've ever had.
Oh, okay.
And it was
wow.
really great.
Okay.
Cool. They're really great guys. It's a duo.
So you guys just normally play like background music and then you had a band for this event?
Every once in a while we'll have a nice DJ with vinyl who can play, but yeah, it's ambience music for sure.
All right, cool.
There's often a drunk DJ, I've heard.
I don't know what you're talking about. I take the fifth.
Neither, I'm drunk.
Man, I got to find my way out there. You know, the thing is that, well, you've done it, so I don't have an excuse that you fly back and forth. So,
I got a round trip out of here for $400 on Air France.
You got to be kidding me.
Direct on Air France.
You've got to be kidding me. Was that a special, though?
You'd be surprised with all the low-cost flights. Norwegian, there's WOW as well. You can get it $300-$400 round trip now from LA to Paris direct.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to have to look for how. What's the travel time?
If it's direct, it's 10 hours.
Okay.
It's actually a really easy flight.
I was guessing like about 12 hours.
So. On the way here, it's an hour more, but still, it's pretty quick.
Yeah.
And it's direct, which is nice.
Yeah. So, again, it was a surprise to see you out here. Can we talk about why you're here, or is it
just
a secret?
Checking out the palm trees.
Yeah.
Right.
Hello.
Well, I don't know,
we
I don't know what you're talking about.
We said it. It's frog dick. It's a restaurant concept that we've come up with.
Right. It's going to be Polynesian Hawaiian fusion grill.
Colombian frog French.
We haven't broke out the details.
But it's high desert frog. It's a savory thing.
And for the listeners out there that are hearing the DJ voice, the strip club DJ voice, that's
ladies,
our friend.
Put your hands together for
right.
her.
Crystal, Sapphire,
Chanel, side stage.
They named themselves after
perfumes or really bad liqueurs,
minerals,
yes,
or minerals. There you
minerals.
Go,
minerals,
creme de cacao,
perfume
coming
or
up next.
Creme
de
cacao.
Midori,
please welcome absinthe.
Midori sour,
my favorite drink, by the way.
So that seductive DJ, strip club DJ voice is our friend Gustavo from Frogtown Brewery.
Whoop, whoop.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the Kinky Blonde Ale.
Absolutely.
That I'm drinking, Gustavo.
Yeah. Fresh off the grill.
Is this a seasonal beer?
It is not. It's our staple. We've got two staples. Well, many, but really the two front runners are the Kinky Blonde and the Feathered in Session IPA.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
How's business over there at Frogtown right now?
It's going well. We've grown steadily, but the last literally the last 3 weeks is what I'm calling.
Dude, the last time I was in there, it was hopping.
Pumping.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I got pretty slammed.
I love it.
Yeah, I had a great time. Oh,
it was so fun. That's right. Yeah, it was packed. Yeah, well, that was about 3 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, it was about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, so these last 3 weeks, I'm calling the tipping point.
It was 3 weeks already?
Yeah.
You know what? I walked in, the line went all the way back to the office door.
Yep.
And, I mean, it came and went. Later on in the evening, there was really not much of a line, but it was still pretty hopping. It was fun.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah.
Great beer.
Thank you, sir. You have great taste.
Yeah, it is. It is very good beer.
Yeah, it's our new our newly canned beer, but it's one of our basic recipes or traditional recipes, the Kinky Blonde Ale.
Yep. And I'm following this with a shot of, what did we do here?
Aguardiente.
Yeah,
straight from Colombia.
Put your hands together for Colombia.
center
stage, actually. Center stage, Colombia. This was actually, we've got five bottles of aguardiente from the motherland. Okay. For those listeners who don't know that I'm from Colombia, you do now. And we're having
I thought you were Mexican.
What part of Mexico is Colombia?
It's more like it's like South Central. Oddly enough, yeah.
Right below it, right?
Yeah, way southern Mexico. So this is the we're going to try them all as we peruse.
Oh, there we go. But so this is going to get interesting. Then
we're about to get fun.
Not me. I'm just tasting. I'm not here for that.
That's not my bag.
He's tasting the same size we are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, this one is Aguardiente Llanero, which is from the Great Plains of Colombia, and I think it's the best of the five. But
is this
they're all good.
This is what all the locals are drinking over there, then?
For sure, this is our spirit.
That's your tequila, your rum, your
correct,
whatever.
Correct. Yeah, it's essentially it's a rum. Scotty can.
What's it made with?
It's made with love. Affection and a dash of nose candy.
A little bit of regret.
And mostly regret.
A little bit of regret. That's right.
Mostly regret. I want to say it's cane based.
So it's right? Sugar? Yeah. Sugar then?
I would imagine so for this one. Yeah. Not 100%. Yeah. But it's about 29%, so it's very easy to drink.
Right.
And these flavors, kind of cumin, things like that.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
We do shots. We do a shot and a chaser. We do mixed, whatever.
You drink with Coke, too, or no?
Yeah. Some people do. Like, literally, they'll bring out a bucket of sodas, Cokes, Sprites, whatever, and then people just do it how they want. A piece of ice, just straight up. Some people love throwing in the freezer, and they do a shot straight out of the freezer.
Do they make cocktails with this?
They do. Yeah, some really good cocktails, too. They're starting to. So in the last time I was there was about 5 years ago, and I was starting to see cocktails there. But in general, it's not because they don't want to make it with this. It's not a cocktail or wasn't a cocktail country.
Yeah, I was just about to ask what the culture is around cocktails there because, I mean, let's be honest, that's not what Colombia is really known for, right?
No,
they're known for something else.
Yeah, they're women.
Exactly. Derriere.
There you go. Shout out to Mo.
Shout out to Mo and Scotty's baby mama.
Yep.
Oh, is she Colombian?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right, cool.
Which is actually how we met. I'm glad you brought it up. His baby mama's my future ex-wife.
she's half Colombian, half French, and half a bitch. Have fun with that.
Yeah, good luck. The bills go with her.
Now, if I remember correctly, you met her here in California.
Met her in San Francisco.
San Francisco, yeah.
We're in young love, you know. Got her pregnant.
I'm going to get you pregnant.
And then the rest is history.
Yep.
19 years later.
Hey, yep. Think about this. Think about like all of these paths in our lives, right? I've said before that our life is a series of decisions, right? Mm-hmm. Every day we make a decision. I made a decision to pop this thing open and drink it. I could have said no. This could lead to I don't know, something crazy, right? Lampshade over my head or something.
Three of us are going to Vegas right now.
Right. But that decision, right, getting with her, led you to eventually be the owner of Dirty Dick.
Exactly.
Right? Because that wouldn't have ever happened. You wouldn't have gone down that path.
Definitely not.
Right, so.
And if Beach Bum Berry wouldn't have wrote all those books as well.
Yeah, and that's another one, right? Definitely. But even still, I mean, you were in France, so that you know, there's that path that you had to be in France.
Definitely. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, so yeah, and Jeff, like, it's crazy because it's the same thing when I look at the books that he wrote and just Sven and all of these guys. It's because of them that you have all of these different things. Again, it's these decisions and these paths that people follow. You know, they wrote those books, and because of that, there's this whole industry that was born behind it, right?
You've got 1,000%.
Right? The resurgence of...
I thank Jeff every time I see him.
Oh, yeah.
True story.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's shout out to Jeff, because he's I love Jeff, man. Jeff's just such a cool guy.
Barry.
Rewind.
Wah, wah, wah.
And he was a guy that was also, he was just making drinks at home. And he's got a great story.
Yeah,
he ended up running one of the premier bars in the world.
It's a great place. I love it. Yep.
Right.
Been there twice. Yeah, twice. Yep.
I like their Midori old fashioned. It's my favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Easy
Is
ice.
That a bullshit? That I was going to say.
Easy ice for sure.
Instead of
I was
sugar ice
say,
grenadine.
Those guys can't be making a Midori old fashioned.
I prefer a caramel room.
And for a split second, I was just there 2 months ago. For a split second, I thought, I should have ordered one of those.
Very easy to
I'll
drink.
Have the Scotty special, please.
Yeah. It's an old Polynesian drink, actually.
Yeah.
We were talking, if I can, about the brewery. So the last 3 weeks since the weekend you were there, I perceive as a tipping point, and Scotty can probably speak to this from owning a bar much longer than I have. But it's you get to a point where there's an organic energy that comes in.
Yeah.
And it stays busy, and there's a vibe.
You've probably started picking up regulars now too, right?
They started it real early, so we've had them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we've had them, which is great, but we're now having folks that aren't accustomed to the area, don't know the
Come
neighborhood.
Out.
And when I say area, I mean literally, like, they don't even know what Northeast Los Angeles is.
I've never been in that area before until you opened a brewery there.
Great.
So I'm one of those guys.
Me thank too. You. Thank Definitely.
You, thank you. Yeah.
It's a
yeah.
little hidden gem.
It totally is, right? And right there by the LA River. And, I say it all the time, man. It's my favorite brewery. And a lot of it has to do with
it.
The beer is great, but a lot of it has to do with the crew, because you guys are awesome.
My business partners are amazing, Mike and Adam. They're good guys. They run the ship. I just mop the floors, but it's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. They're really good guys, really intelligent. And we talked about this on a previous podcast, but real quick, by default, and we just talk finance when it comes to issues that come up with business. We didn't have much money, so we had to do things by ourselves and hand.
Right, right.
We didn't have
a
choice.
Yeah, there's no choice. Yeah, but by default, we had to be creative, and
make
we did.
It happen.
Yeah, and that creativity and put together some energy there that's really disarming. People come in and they don't know the neighborhood's new. They've never heard of a brewery being in that region in general.
Well, that's considered more of like an artist area, right? Like, aren't there like some art studios there?
Yes.
Or is that just my, maybe I have a misconception because they do an art walk there every year.
No, that's pretty fair. That's a fair perception, but it's a rare perception. So
okay.
Realistically, it's a predominantly overlooked Latino Hispanic neighborhood and Asian as well. And, probably 20, 30 years ago, I'm guesstimating, many artists started moving in because of the affordability.
Yeah,
right.
And
right.
Accessibility
And accessibility. It's right off the 5, the 2, and the 110. So they were in that region, and the neighborhood began to realize that. So they started an art walk.
Yeah.
But it's a different art walk. It's not like what we have in downtown or even in Northeast Los Angeles, where it's like once a month. It's once a year.
Right,
but they wanted to showcase these folks, and there's some really prominent, I'll say it, minority artists that have come from that, and many still are there. But you're right, it is an artist group, but it's not recognized for that. It was recognized, unfortunately, for the stigma, which was gangs. And the artist and us as Frogtown and some of the other businesses are hoping to change that stigma. And I think,
right.
I think we're doing it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think so. I mean, well, that area was really unknown to me before, so I never, there was no reputation that I saw. Just because I didn't grow up local or anything, but
yeah, some folks come in and they just have zero clue, which is great. Then we can build that foundation for a solid beer and some good energy. And then some people come in with this preconception of like, oh, who is this, or gentrification, or what's going on, or why, or how. And 95% of the people that come in with preconceptions, those are neutralized, which is good.
What are your thoughts about that? Because, like, for example, with Dirty Dick. My thought is that it's kind of cool what you guys are doing over there in the red light, right? Because yeah. Bars are coming in now, and it's kind of being less seedy, I would assume.
On our block, 100% all the way down. It's totally right. changed.
I think the city likes that. The tourism board probably likes
probably
that.
Probably the people who own the apartments above us as people well. You know, they complain right. about the noise.
And what about the business owners? I'm sure the business owners, I mean, like, I can't imagine that anybody would want it to be seedy the way that it was before.
There's a really nasty place touching us next to us, though. They're open like 24 hours a day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's really, really nasty. But besides that...
Is it still a brothel?
No. Only on Wednesdays.
Oh, okay.
No. The place next door is actually just like a dirty nightclub. So it attracts a lot of bad people to
I'm talking
area.
About that place, not your place.
Oh, okay. Yeah, our Dirty Dick's still a brothel on Wednesdays. Only in the cave, though. That's another password.
Press play.
Yeah,
double scorpion bowl is the password.
Dude, that's just such the greatest story, man, that it was a brothel. You kept the name, and people still walk in from time to time looking for some action.
Every day it happens.
Oh, every day. Yeah. So I didn't know that it was every day. That's
especially
pretty crazy.
Especially when it's not busy, or you'll have, you know, like two girls sitting at the bar is how it usually works at the other places. So, you know, they'll come in and sit down and be like, you know, how does this work? And you're like, well,
oh, really?
You just point something on the menu and we'll make you a drink. That's how it works.
Give me 17 euros and I'll make you happy.
Exactly.
Oh, that's hilarious, man. Wow. So every day.
Every day.
They must be disappointed.
100%.
Until they have a cocktail and then they're pleased.
I would imagine so. No, they usually just get up and walk out. They don't want to stay.
Now, are these guys normally tourists or are they?
No, they're usually older men. They're, you know, between 60 to whatever.
So like older locals?
A lot of them are friends because that's just how it was. There's still a few in the area that are like that. For but sure. People, yeah, they go around and you buy girls drinks. And
what's the red light district over there like? Is it mostly tourists or is it mostly?
Well, the red light district is pretty much like Soho was apparently in London. It's where all the music shops are at. So you have a lot of musicians. It's always went back. And all the red light stuff is now pretty much gone.
Okay.
There's no prostitution. There's no brothel. There's really nice restaurants now. And
it's great. I was just there 4th of July weekend.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was fun.
But I guess what I mean is like in Amsterdam. Like
we don't have it. It's not like that
at
all.
Okay, because no. The red light district in Amsterdam is mostly tourists.
Yeah, but those are like little brothels. And this is like actually just little rooms. And that doesn't exist. Like these were... The ones in France, it's not like that. It's like a bar where you go in and you talk to... I mean, I saw it on YouTube once. Right.
I read a book.
like in Zona Norte?
Yeah. All of them, yes.
That's what my friend told me.
Zona Norte, La Zona Rosa, my
Rancho de la
Rojas. Yeah, they're all the same. It's all
Rancho
really
de la Roja. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll write that one down.
Adelitas, you know.
Whatever. Try the Mai Tais.
Adelitas. It's funny that you know that.
I also watch YouTube.
Okay, let me ask you this. You ever see The Donkey Show?
No.
So when I was in college.
So I says to the guy.
So this one time.
So when I was in college, we used to go down to Revolution all the time, right?
Revolution, yep.
One time we wanted to go see The Donkey Show. And the cab driver kept telling us, no, donkey died. I think it's bullshit. I don't think that there's any...
There probably was one like in a 50s or 40s or something, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Or urban legend something.
Yeah, I think that is just one of these wives' tales, right?
I think it would be, after you saw it, you'd be shocked and feel bad for yourself maybe afterwards. Or the donkey. Or they or killed the donkey.
Scared and aroused.
Yeah.
Now, I saw this, God, what was it? It was Vice TV that apparently in Mexico, a rite of passage is to have sex with a donkey. But it's the males having sex with the donkey.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Dead silence.
Yeah, you kind of caught me.
Everybody's going to look me off guard on that one.
I was just imagining some crazy things there.
Can I phone a friend?
Phone a friend.
Right. The rite of passage.
Yep. Right. It probably is. I mean, if you think about it, I'm guessing like some sort of.
Yeah, they said it is a rite of passage every boy has done it when they turn like a certain age. Like as soon as they start going through puberty, they've all done it. And there are wives that even say that they like when their husbands go do it because it keeps their sexual drive in check.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Right?
Wow.
Because like...
I guess I know what we're doing tonight.
All right. You're going to Tijuana, man.
There's got to be a donkey closer than that.
Up here in the hills, there's got to be one around there somewhere.
I mean, you know, I don't really have any other TJ stories other than getting drunk. And then when I got into my 20s, I didn't even go to TJ anymore. I just kept going straight through and went down the Rosarito
Beach. To me, the best TJ stories have nothing to do with what happens there. It's just how you get there and come back.
Because it's usually, all about the trip.
The trip. It's like your boys. It's like some sort of random, like someone got lost. I lost my wallet, my money.
Like I said,
and how to get back by 7 a.m.
I got syphilis now.
No, you're right. It's syphilis.
The usual.
And you're right, because when we'd go to Rosarito, there was always this rule that we had with each other, with me and my friends, that if someone was missing by the time we needed to go home, we checked the jail first. Right. Oh, okay. And usually that's what happened. It wasn't that some guy got lucky or something. Yeah. It was that what happened to so-and-so.
Yeah, leave no like,
they ran out of money.
He disappeared on Friday night. Well, he sat in jail until Sunday until, you know, one of us went over there and bailed him out. So, yeah, I guess. But
yeah, I've been to Tijuana and Rosarito and Ensenada all that maybe 15 times, of which my parents know of one.
Uh-oh.
So for me, it was always like...
Shout out to Gustavo's parents.
Yep, wah, wah, wah. So it was all about how are we getting out there? What's the story? Who are we going with? Whose car? And how are we getting back?
Yeah.
So it really wasn't about the donkey show or
drinking underage. Yeah, like I said, I never saw a donkey show, but yeah, and that either. It wasn't even drinking underage. It was just that the same thing. My parents, every time I went, I think my dad knew only one time. Okay. And there was one time. So when I was getting married to my first wife, I had my bachelor party on spring break weekend in Rosarito Beach.
What could go wrong?
Right? 30 of us. 30 of us. We took the whole upper floor of the Rosarito Beach Hotel.
Oh, wow.
And my mom's brother calls me and he says, "Hey, how's it going?" This guy never calls me, right? I see him at Christmas and
he's like, "I'm downstairs."
Right? I see him at Christmas, Thanksgiving. Oh, this is like
I have a donkey.
Right. This is like the week before. He says, "Hey, how's it going? So you're going to Mexico this weekend?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "I don't think you should go." He just strips. "I don't think you should go." And I said, "Why not?" And he goes, "Because your mom told me to call you and say that." And he goes, "So I did." He's like, he goes, "Look, I know why you're going down there. Have fun. Just be safe." And I'm like, "All right, cool. Maybe he's my uncle, right?"
Be safe, man.
He's like, "Can I come?"
Right. And it was a good time. I mean, we didn't do anything stupid, but you know, there was well, other than drinking too much and eating tacos on the street. But we went to Papa's and Beer every night, right? There's a strip club right next door. And if you go there later on in the night, a lot of the girls who got drunk at Papa's and Beer want to go to the strip club and take their clothes off, you know?
Yep.
I don't know if it's a bucket list item.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, because these are girls that shouldn't be on the stage taking their clothes off, but they are. Right. Yeah. No, yeah. Not the dudes.
Got it.
That's hot.
But I haven't been to Rosarito in over 20 years.
Yeah, it's been a minute for me.
It's been a long time.
I've been in 12 years.
The last time I was down that direction, I went to Ensenada, and that was, a long time ago too. Yeah. Maybe 15 years ago. Ensenada.
There's actually a really good craft beer scene in Baja.
Oh, really?
And wine as well. But I've heard and have tasted the craft beer. It's actually really good.
I was only there because it was a stop on a cruise.
Oh, got it.
That was one of the cruise stops, right? And then where did I end up? Papas and beer.
For sure,
I mean, it's...
Taking your clothes off?
You're taking my clothes off. It's either Papas and beer or La Bufadora.
La Bufadora, yep, for sure.
And what are you going to do at La Bufadora?
Take one picture.
Take a picture and like,
show your titties.
Get sucked into the bowl.
I think I used to date her, La Bufadora. Yeah.
Is that what you called her?
Yeah, well, that's what they called her. That's how I inherited her.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage.
Yes. Center stage.
La Bufadora.
Out in the back, Bufadora.
Watch this.
Excuse our drinking breaks.
It's all right.
It's nice.
It is.
I think your dog wants something.
Yeah, love, i.e. food.
And more chips.
Chips is what he wants. He wants Scotty because Scotty's hooking up with chips.
Get up the chips.
So, Scotty, do you guys have tiki mugs at your bar?
Funny you say that. Actually, we do. Bi makes them, but she makes them at home because we can't afford to get them done.
Well, I naturally would have expected Bi to make them, but that she's pretty damn good. So,
yeah.
As far as professionally is concerned, hey, man, she's awesome.
Yeah, we're very blessed to be working with her.
So they must be like super limited then, because if she's making them at home, she can't crank them out like Tiki Farm.
Well, actually, they are, but for the fifth birthday, she made a limited 10 ones with the 5-year on the back. So I might actually have an extra one here, but...
I was going to say, I'd love to buy one, but the thing is that...
$300, please.
I know, really? That's probably
PayPal,
the
Gustavo
shipping.
Gustavo?
The shipping.
Yahoo, he sold his on Yahoo, eBay already.
Yahoo.com.
Gustavo at labufadora.com.
.org, actually. It's
.org.
When I did it, it was all for nonprofit.
I saw it listed for $600.
Do you guys have any other tiki bars out there in France?
There has been a few. We have the Tiki Lounge that's in the 11th.
That's Le Tiki Lounge, right?
Le Tiki Lounge.
Okay. And for a while, they were the only players, right?
Opened, I think, less than a year before we did. Or maybe year before we did.
Okay, I thought they were around longer than that.
No. And they're actually up for sale from what I heard last week.
Oh, so really? Wow. What's the story behind that?
I have no idea.
Did you enter?
I wish Don the Beachcomber was still alive. My mom always said, if you don't have anything good to say,
talk about Don the Beachcomber.
I wish he was still alive.
I love how you changed that.
I wish Tupac was still alive.
Now, what about you? What about Frogtown? Do you guys have any competitors?
We're up for sale too.
Are there any other breweries in the area?
Yeah, we've got a few. So we've got one. The closest to us is Eagle Rock Brewery. They're sort of across the river.
But yeah, that's not in your neighborhood, though. If they're in
Eagle. Oh no, not like in Frogtown. No, not at all. No, yeah. But locally, as far as the LA craft beer scene, that's really close, right? And then downtown is blowing up, and then Arts District in general has like 7 now, which is
by the way. Crazy. How did you get your logo on that building? I saw something on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Did you guys got your logo painted on another building that says Tap Room and it's got an arrow?
Yeah, so we're expanding. I just bought that that block. I lost my wallet, found it, and then I realized I had more cash than I thought I did. So I just, you know.
Business must be good.
I found it, so I might as well spend it.
Right. You seriously bought that block?
No, not at all. No, there's a good friend of ours who is a local businessman.
I was going to say, dude, man, you're getting big, man.
1.5 years, jeez.
And here's the thing. Like, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he did. You know, if he said, yeah, we're expanding and we bought this other building, you know.
I've got that quiet... filthy rich vibe.
Well, looking at this view we're looking at right now,
right?
I don't know, maybe,
so we've got a view this is 180 degrees at least. If you go and look and you crank your neck that way, I guess it's more than 180 degrees.
It's like actually 197.
Is it really?
Not that I've measured it, but people have.
Okay, so there we go. So it's even more than 180 degrees. And when I pulled up, there's a G-Wagon outside, Mercedes-Benz G500.
Yep, 2019.
And a couple of hot rods in the garage.
What's the address again here?
999. Never mind.
999. Fuck off. I'm in the corner of fuck off and get the fuck out of here.
Yes, exactly. That's the cross street.
Yeah, so you had a neighbor that let you paint that on there?
Yeah, he's a local businessman. We were probably 2 weeks into establishing the brewery and having the space. And he walked in and was like, "Hey, heard you're opening up a brewery." And we were shocked because we hadn't really told anyone.
No one really
knew of us. And they're like, "Yeah, we are. Why?" And it was still pretty sketchy back then. So this is over 3 years ago when we got the space. And it's like, yeah.
Back when they were making vajankles in there.
Exactly.
They're cooking meth in the back.
Exactly. Anything we can to pay the bills. So we were kind of like, yeah, why? What's going on? And we thought he's maybe a neighbor, nosy neighbor, neighborhood council, something. And we just kind of were a little taken aback. And he's like, "Oh, no, don't. You know, I own so and so across the street. Great." He's actually the famous pickle guy in the neighborhood. He and his family run a pickle factory out of that space.
Oh, really?
For, I'm guesstimating, 50 years or so.
Wow.
Yeah, really cool. Really quality, high end pickles, old family recipe. And he just embraced us from the first day and was super nice to us and offered a forklift when we didn't have one, offered storage if we needed it.
So he's just a cool dude.
Just a cool, nice guy.
He's probably happy to see like a legitimate business going in.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And it's funny you say legitimate because it would be for us, most of the tenants in the area or attempted tenants were all growers. They all wanted to grow marijuana in the area. Yeah. So,
which is amazing.
Which I fully support.
Right.
Yeah. The neighbors wanted something of quality there. And you know, beer is, it was that fine line where like, "Oh, it's craft brewery, but it's still beer. Let's see what happens." But he was one of the first folks to be like embracing us, and he's there almost every day. He's just really nice and super generous with his time and his space. And a few weeks ago, we were all hanging out and having a couple beers, and he's like, "Hey, that building's got this decent site on it, and folks are trying to find you." And people, I mean, realistically, the our best advertisement, probably short of Instagram, is four blue A-frame wood signs that we built from $32 worth of wood from Home Depot, and those are the best signs. People literally like, "We saw a sign, we came, we didn't think this was real, and we love that we're here."
Yeah.
So you know, you've seen that, our little sketchy signs that are sitting on a corner. So why don't you guys put your logo on the building? Like, really? All right, great. And he totally was super welcoming. And my buddy, who, speaking of hot rods, he's pinstriped my hot rods, and he went up there and did that. It looks great.
That looks awesome. So that dude's drinking at Frogtown for life now, huh?
Yeah, he's grandfathered in for sure. Champagne room.
Champagne room.
Drinking in the champagne
room. Nothing happens in there.
Not at all.
Yeah, so it's funny that you guys bring up the whole grower thing, because my supplier...
hook me up.
Do you need some? If I'd have known, I would have brought you some.
No, this guy over here.
Oh, okay.
Picked me up on the way in, had a little care package.
Well, because...
So if you guys don't know, I'm from Colombia.
That's right. So my grower, he's been growing it at home for years. And because he's a homeboy, you know, it's always gifted to me. And it's gifted to me faster than I can consume it. So I've got like a cookie jar full, perfect, like to the top, right? And, you know, and my wife smokes more than I do.
I think that's amazing, by the way.
Shout out to your wife.
Yeah totally.
I just met her for the first time a few weeks ago at your...
At my house.
At your champagne room party.
At my champagne room party.
She's a sweetheart. She's super nice. It was cool meeting her. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
It's kind of cool meeting the significant others or like really close friends of people that you're close with. That just happened this weekend with Scotty and I. Friends that he's known.
Scumbag friends.
Friends.
You become a scumbag by osmosis.
And filtration. His buddies from 20 years ago, 25 years ago.
Oh, you met a few of them, actually.
Yeah, quite a few. Yeah. An array.
But, met them in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Oh, these are guys from San Francisco?
Before I met my baby's mama at the time.
You still talk to guys from when you were growing up in Victorville?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of them.
I know, probably. Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's funny that you say that, because I know about a half a dozen guys that grew up in high desert, Victorville, Hesperia, and most of them have found their way out of there because they said, oh yeah, bad things happen over there because, you know, like it's so detached from everything and
methamphetamines.
Yeah, and people do some stupid stuff just because they get bored and there's nothing else to
do. There's no work. Well, I mean, I guess there's some, but yeah.
Minimal.
Well, I got a buddy who lives in Apple Valley and he commutes out to Burbank every day.
Ooh. It's beautiful. I mean, like I could see myself living there, but if you don't have, you know, means of money and things like that, there's not a lot to do.
Yeah, this guy, I mean, he makes good money in Burbank, but they want to live in Apple Valley. He's got a big spread out there, a real nice house. View like this.
Cool.
Giant backyard with a pool, and I mean, it's beautiful. And he's like, yeah, he's like, I want my house, you know, and I can have it out here.
Yeah, it's worth getting there, but it is a journey.
It's crazy, you know, driving through the Cajon Pass every day.
My mom did it when I was growing up. She worked in Loma Linda ICU.
Oh, really?
A night shift, and she used to do it every 5 days a week, 6 days a week sometimes.
Wow. Yeah, because one of my buddies who actually lives in Glendora now, I was going to say Glendale, he lives in Glendora now, but he was born and raised out there. And when he was working in college, geez, he was working out in Yorba Linda, you know?
Yeah.
Fullerton, Yorba Linda area. And he used to drive out there every day, you know? So.
Yeah, Scotty and I just had this conversation. My cousin moved out there a couple years back, and he was Hesperia to Fullerton.
So he's doing the same commute.
Yeah, same exact. Yeah, pretty much essentially the same commute.
Because you can get more, you know, more land, more of a house.
Right.
Yep.
But you have
to
drive.
How many miles is that?
It's only about an hour. Well, that's if there's no traffic. And now there's more and more.
You're still familiar with the area out here, right? Do you know where the 15 and the 60 freeway is?
I know where the 15 is.
Do you know where Ontario is?
Of course. Well, we had one of my best friends here yesterday. Yeah, he's
okay.
Ontario still lives there.
That's basically where I live. Like my city is just south of Ontario, and from where I live, I think Victorville is still a good.
It's less than an hour or hourish to get there.
Maybe
depending on how fast you go.
Yeah, but I mean, what I'm getting at is like miles wise, it's still like 50 miles away. You know, sure. That's still a long commute, you know.
Definitely.
And the thing is, if there's anything that happens in the past, you're fucked.
Oh, yeah.
There is no way around it, right?
Yep.
So there was one time I was driving through for something. I don't know if I was going to Vegas or something. There was some big accident that they closed the freeway.
Oh, yeah, that just closes.
Yeah, they closed the freeway, and I'm just stuck there. And had to use a bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And God, okay. Have to use a bathroom. I'll just go to the side. I go to the side of the freeway. Everybody's engines are off. Go to the side, use a bathroom. And then I was with my first wife. She's like, oh, I got to go too. So I go, just go to the side. She's like, I'm not going to go to the side. Right. Just go to the side. And so she, because she was too embarrassed, knocks on the door of one of these tour buses that's going to Vegas.
Okay.
And the driver opens the door and she's like, I got to go to the bathroom really bad. Can I use your bathroom? And he's like, okay, pee-pee only.
He's like, number one, number two.
Right. He goes, pee-pee only, no poo-poo.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And she went number three. But she's like, yeah, she comes back to my car and she goes, it's so nice in there. It's all air conditioned. They're playing bingo and they had videos playing. They were serving food. And I was like, nice. So they don't care that they're stuck.
Yeah. Everyone's having a great time.
Right.
Playing bingo, getting ready for Vegas.
Yeah. They're gambling already, right? On the bus. Yeah, it's crazy because I think more people are doing that commute now than ever before because it's just getting crazy to live out here, right?
Affordability is crazy, yep.
Yeah, it's getting expensive.
I'm really surprised about the rent down here, actually. It seems to be even more than Paris.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I guess. I mean, if it looks to be a little bit more even. For the size wise.
Really? Wow. I know that it's still crazier up north.
Yes.
Someone just posted an 800 square foot house in Somerville. It's an old fixer upper and it sold for $2 million.
Ooh, wow.
800 square feet.
Yeah.
That's definitely Paris prices.
Yeah. $2 million. I mean, like, what do you got to do to make that kind of money? And then on top of that, you're going to buy that? You know,
and sustain it, right? Because you're going into it for X, and then you got to like keep paying that mortgage for.
Well, yeah,
for however long you want to be.
But there. I'm thinking that it was because of the value of the property. I think it's the location. I don't
land
think it's
value,
yeah,
sure,
yeah,
sure.
Because this house was, it was a shack, man. It looked like it was built in the 40s, you know.
Okay.
And it was, and it looked like it hadn't been taken care
of. $2 million, huh?
$2 million. 800 square feet, man. Too bad. That's smaller than that first condo I bought. First condo I bought was 1,000 square feet.
Yep.
I had 2 bedrooms, 2 bath, living room, dining room, enclosed patio, and a 2-car garage, and it was 1,000 square feet.
Yeah.
And even that felt kind of small, because then we started having our family, sure, and it was like, okay, we need to get a house now, like a house, right?
Yep, yep.
Yeah. But like I was telling you before, I only paid $125,000 for that place. So
yeah, that's insane based on how Southern California and LA prices are now. Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally crazy.
That's what a car cost.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a G Wagon. Like a
G500. G500.
Right? That's what I said that.
Well, you guys want to take a break so that we can take another shot, or should we do that while we're recording?
That sounds like a great idea.
Let's take a break.
Break it is.
All right, cheers.
If you have a product, service, or event that you'd like to bring attention to, we can help. Imagine hearing your ad in this spot, just like you're hearing this one right now. Sponsor an episode and get the exposure you deserve. For more information, go to DesertOasisRoom.com and click on Services.
Coming to the stage, Gustavo, stage number one.
Alizé.
Alizé, stage two.
And we are back.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
And so we were talking during the break about an interesting topic, because we have two bar owners here. One owns a brewery and one owns a tiki bar. And there's this topic about free drinks. So,
yes, please.
So let's talk about that. I asked Scotty, so do you do that? Do you give away free drinks?
I leave it up to the discretion of my bartenders, but I'm very open about it.
Okay.
Don't want to, you know, just everyone drink for free. They know.
You have a business to run.
Yeah.
So they can't hook up like all their friends and say, yeah, come down. You never have to pay.
Nothing like that. And we work as a family. I don't think that they would ever do that anyway.
Right.
But I think it's, I'll do like some either a round of shots or clarified milk punch or something like that. Or if it's somebody's honeymoon, for example, or an anniversary.
Birthday or something.
I'll offer them a scorpion bowl out of the blue, you know, and it just, I like to enhance the pleasure of someone's evening.
Yeah, their experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just make them have the best possible night or vacation or whatever life celebration ever.
Because, you know, as a patron, because I'm not a bar owner, but as a patron, I never expect to get free drinks. I'm a regular at TKT. I like going to Frog Town, but I don't expect to be handed something without paying for it. And maybe that's just the way that I am. But I know that there are industry people, I guess, that have that expectation. Is that unreasonable?
I think to expect something for free. I mean, it's not just whoever you are. It's because it's a gift, generosity from us. So it shouldn't be looked at like that. Or then there's no reason to have a business, right? Like
exactly.
And then they're disappointed when they have to pay for something when that's totally normal. You don't go into a restaurant and expect to have a free steak dinner, or
right? Exactly.
Yeah. Or ask them to comp you your steak and, you know, something like that.
Yeah, because I assume that sometimes other bar people, other bartenders, maybe they expect a professional courtesy, and I put that in air quotes, right, to drink for free, and because, oh, I'm a bartender too. I bartend at that bar.
We would go bankrupt.
Exactly.
But we really, you know, we'll take care of people in the industry for sure. But like you said, it's not a handout. It's a gift. It's generosity. It's to enhance your night, to, you know, to have a good time.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's a pendulum in many facets of life, but especially when it comes to the
don't use those big words on me.
I know. How many syllables was in that?
No more than 2 syllables for me.
I'll show you what that means later.
The pendulum.
Hold still. This is going to hurt you more than it hurts me. Yeah, I think it's an industry thing that I'm really, really new to it. Scotty's been around it for at least 20 years.
Yeah, way too long.
But it's new to me on this side of the business, I should say. But one, I don't think anyone should expect it. But two, I think there needs to be collaboration. And also, I'm coming from a subset of the industry that's very collaborative. When it comes to craft breweries, everyone's very welcoming.
It's different. They're less competitive with each other.
Yeah, and I notice a difference. Like, I'll go to a craft brewery, and if they happen to recognize me or if I happen to introduce myself officially, which I also don't like to necessarily do, because you're right, there's no, I don't want to have like an expectation.
Right, exactly.
Like, can you get me a free drink, please?
Right.
I own a brewery.
Well, I actually made a business card that says, it has none of my info, and it just says, hand me a free drink.
I have a gun in my pocket.
No one needs it to
says,
get hurt.
It says, I know the owner.
Yeah, I'm with the band.
I am the band.
Yeah, so I don't want to have that expectation either, but coming from a subset of the industry that's so collaborative, when we go out to a brewery, 9 times out of 10, they'll take care of a couple pints, and you get beers to go.
That's
and
nice.
I know that's the other extreme. It is nice, it absolutely, and it's the other extreme, but I'm shocked sometimes, and again, I don't go into any situation, especially not in the industry, with an expectation, but I'm shocked when we go to a bar and someone knows who you are. And I don't usually try not to.
And then they lock the door before you get in.
Exactly. And then I'm at the window breathing heavy.
Security.
Breathing real heavy. Yeah. And they're like, oh, cool. Great. And then not say anything. This happened to me a few weeks ago. I was at an event, and I went to a bar, just happened to be next door to a nice bar. I won't say what it is. And ordered a drink, and they were busy, which was okay. And it took a while, and I got it. And it was a good drink, and most of the folks I run into are open to hear about other brands or that sort mm-hmm. of thing in general, right? In hospitality, so I mentioned our beer, and oh, cool, great, and like nice, and sort of indifference, nothing, you know. There's some subtleties there; you can tell when someone's like that, but it wasn't anything bad either. It wasn't like purposely bad, but I'm like, great, no big deal. I didn't think anything of it. And literally the next night, a really good friend of mine invited me to go to his bar, went over there, and I was at the bar hanging out with him, having a drink, and that bartender walked in, and turns out he knows him, and he was like, oh, hey, oh, I didn't know you know him.
Right.
What's up? Oh, like, how do you make your beer again?
What's up, man? I got to stop by and have some beer. I didn't know. Oh, cool. Oh, please come back. Like, let me take care of you.
Right.
And you know, and I get it, right? It's like, oh, now that I know you're really good friends with this guy, that's cool. But the same thing, like, when people come to the brewery, I've taken care of people just from the fact that they're like, hey, I'm at this restaurant. And by the way, when it comes to restaurants,
it's a great feeling. As a patron.
Sure.
And you guys, you always take care of me there. You know, I mean, I don't walk out paying for nothing. Yeah. But
I think I've seen your name in the back. There's a large tab with your name on it.
Yeah. The only reason I'm here actually is
there's
to hand
a flyer.
You this.
Yeah. There's a flyer by the register with my photo on
your
it.
Photo
says,
on the front
shows how much I owe. But
can I just swipe your credit card? Real
yeah,
quick?
I mean, like, it's a great feeling to feel like, oh yeah, he's taking care of me. You know, my ex-wife has been remarried just like I have, and the guy she married owns 2 Thai restaurants, and I love his food. I've known the guy since I was in high school, so.
That's not weird at all.
No, it's not. Well, I know. It was kind of weird at first, but not anymore. But so my kids are with her half the time. Not my son anymore because he's in college. But, you know, growing up, he was with her half the time, and my daughter too. And so, you know, sometimes if I want to have dinner, I'll say, hey, let's go to Chad's restaurant. You know, and cool. We'll go over there. And then, you know, he'll take care of me. His staff will take care of me. And I always... Usually, I should say, I always drink for free, and then I still get 20% off my food tab.
That's awesome.
And I never ask for it, but it's nice that he does that.
Sure.
It's a cool feeling.
And it's not expected either.
It's not expected.
Yeah, you didn't
I don't
come
expect
in going,
that.
Do you know who I am to the
no,
hostess?
No, 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 no.
Right.
No, and I'll actually, because his restaurants get pretty busy, I'll actually let him prioritize his customers over me. Because
for sure.
It's like, hey, no, seat your customers. I'll sit after everybody gets a seat.
Then you complain about your food.
Right. I don't.
This pad thai is trash. Right.
But I don't want to be like going in there and acting like, oh, yeah, well, how come you don't have a table ready for me? I'm family or whatever. You know what I mean? Right. So, no. Take care of your customers and then you seat me afterwards. And then I'll sit down with my kids and then I'll even tell my son, because my son would work there part time. I'll even tell my son, don't let them serve us. You know where everything is. Just go get it for us. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah,
so, yeah. So I'll have him go into the kitchen and I'll have him make our drinks and stuff so that people aren't.
You'll make him stronger.
Yeah. So that his staff.
Four knuckles.
His staff can take care of his customers without worrying
Definitely.
About us. Right.
And that's the right attitude to have. And you can sense it as a bar owner, when someone comes in and is like, oh, this is pleasant. Like, thank you. I'm willing to pay. And then you give them something they're really, grateful. Or
I like to hook people up who aren't as well in the industry. Like, it doesn't, just because you're in this industry doesn't mean you're going to get something for free anyway.
Sure.
And I think it's really nice to surprise people like that. And you're like, this is a gift and enjoy yourself. And it makes them take the level of them having fun to another point.
Sure.
That's why we're in the hospitality industry, right?
Yeah. You mentioned that earlier, and for me, that's what it's about. I think the ability for me, it's customer experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Scotty and I were at the brewery every day this week.
Every day.
And
I tried to make him open it at 3 a.m. yesterday. I'm like, hey, you ever done this before? Should we try it now?
Right. I couldn't find the key. I was too drunk.
Hey, man, just to interrupt real quick, when I was in college, I had a friend who managed a pizza place.
Yes.
And it was just one of these places that, teams would go to after a Little League game. So they have these long tables and video games and all that. And after a night.
Round table?
No, it was an independently owned place.
Larry's.
John's.
But after a night of going clubbing.
Chunky Cheese.
Chunky Cheese.
There was like a dozen of us that were looking for a place to go hang out. And he's like, let's go to the pizza place.
So that's awesome.
We went in there, turned all the lights on, turned the video games on, set them on free play, poured out a bunch of pitchers of beer, and we made a bunch of pizzas at like 3 a.m.
That's
great. And then he's like, you guys just have to help me clean this place
for sure
afterwards, so that when the morning crew comes in, it doesn't look like we had any kind of party here. Saying.
Then he lost his job the next day.
No. I know, really.
He's never been back.
Now he's a crackhead.
Never been back on his feet since. No, I was saying about hospitality. Like, for me, it's customer experience. It's when someone goes into your venue, you want that from the first step in. You want it to be as positive and as welcoming as possible.
Sure.
Two things that Scotty and I talked about this week is one.
The only two things.
The only, and we just kept talking about them. Tupac and hospitality. He has a security, I'll call it, but a door guy. And it's not to bounce people or to prevent people from coming in. It's really about the experience. So, because I won't speak for him, especially at the brewery, for those of you who have been, it's 100 feet from the sidewalk by the time you get to the bar. So if someone walks in and they feel uncomfortable or somebody doesn't greet them, that's a long time for them to go through different thoughts of like, where am I? I'm not used to this neighborhood. I'm not comfortable. Where do I order? How do I order? Is it cash only? There's a number of things that would go through someone's mind who isn't accustomed to that venue or craft brewing or cocktails or whatever. So hospitality is super important. And that, with that said, I think that, most industry folks should collaborate, and above and beyond that, any person who just comes in and is having a good time and is pleasant, I'm definitely the first one to be guilty of this. I'm sure my business partners will cringe, but I'm the first one to be guilty of, hey, how are you? Have you tried our XYZ beer?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't. Please, here's a.
Why would your partners cringe about that?
I'm actually kidding, because we have this conversation, but they don't. But there's that balance. We run a business, and
all the profits.
Yeah, and if all I did was give out beer.
Oh, you mean because to hand it out?
Yeah.
It sounded free. To me like you were selling a
beer. No. Well, I am. I'm selling it, but the first one's free.
Okay.
Right? That's how Scotty and I met.
Just like my drug dealer.
Crack the first time.
Scotty and I met in, what was it? Southeast Hesperia.
After Nam.
after Vietnam, we found ourselves in Southeast Hesperia. And someone gave us two tabs of LSD for free, and here we are.
There you go.
Still on a trip.
Because you know what? You guys are right. I mean, I would argue that I'll remember the experience more than the product, because I can get a good drink in a lot of places. But,
sure.
If I have a shitty experience, that's definitely going to resonate with me. And if I have a good experience, they all get it back in a tip anyway.
For sure.
So, I mean,
not in France. They don't.
That's right. That's not a tipping culture, is it?
Not at all.
Really, actually. Not even a little bit. Now, I mean, like, if somebody wanted a tip. So if I went in there and I...
Oh,
and
they definitely accept tips.
Okay, so that's what I...
Oh, yeah, you can do weekend. It. It's just not a... It's not a custom yet.
We're doing almost 600 450 to 600 cocktails. We're very garnish heavy with all fresh products, as I said before.
Right.
And, you know, it can take sometimes 20, 30 minutes to get to the bar. And we give everyone the same experience and still walk after a 12-hour shift with maybe 10 euros, which is $11.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
And work really, 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 really hard. Not like just pouring beer. Not like pouring beers isn't hard work, but...
No, I know what you're saying.
Shout out to all the rest of the barmen out there.
What are you trying to say? Wow. This interview's over. Is it rude if I throw my headset down?
I would feel so bad if I didn't tip those guys for working hard like that.
And they obviously, you know, accept tips. So okay. There'll be nights like if I work with somebody, I don't accept tips, even though my bartenders make more than I do. So they'll, you know, if we have an industry person come in, they'll maybe leave $100, which is, you know, happens every once in a while.
Right.
You know, so they're happy about that, but it's very rare.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's the difference between bartending and the rest of the world and
US.
Yeah.
So really the US is the only place where...
Well, I guess there's definitely France and Europe as well.
I was going to say that I know that I've traveled to places around the world where... Geez, I know that if I go to Central America or I want to say that they were really kind of
weird about it.
Kind of
right?
Hassle you though. No.
I thought if you gave it to them, they would feel weird about it.
No, I don't remember seeing that. There were some places where they'd kind of follow you around until you tipped them. Like if they did something for you, they would follow you around until you tipped them.
It's usually touristy areas. I'm with Scotty. Like from my travels through South America and Central America. It's surprised and very, but if you're sort of ultra tourist or a certain subset of folks are like, oh, I know there's a tourist. Let me try to take advantage.
You know what? Now that I think about that, I think I'm confusing it with Mexico because Mexico can be that way. I remember flying into Cancun. And
Cancun, Cabo, like all the
areas. They want all the tips probably.
But smaller cities, like you go and sometimes they'll be shocked. I'm trying to think where I was just at. I was in show off alert. I was in Africa and I gave someone a tip for
blowjob?
For a hand job. Well, hangy.
He's classy. Come on.
What was his name?
Can't pronounce it.
So. It was on a safari. A safari of dicks.
It was called the skin safari. I don't know what that meant, but I liked it.
It was great.
I was there and I gave someone a tip for like a beer, right? I just ordered a basic beer and then what is that? And like, are you sure? They asked me like if I was sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was like $3 for a beer and I gave like $1 or $2.
Right.
They asked me if I was sure that I wanted to give that to them. So I've found that internationally, the hospitality is very accommodating.
How did that make you feel? Because when the first time I went to Mexico, there were these kids.
You caught syphilis?
Right. At the donkey show. There were these kids.
You killed the donkey?
The third time.
That tried to sell you gum, right?
Sure, chicles.
First time I went down there, I didn't know any better, right? I felt bad for these kids. So I thought, okay, I'll buy some gum from these kids. And my buddies were like, no. And I said, well, they obviously look like they're impoverished, right? Mm-hmm. They need some money. And he goes, no. And he goes, trust me, just don't do it. Sure. So I didn't. I listened to my friends. And then I saw this, you know, young teenage, again, girl about my age. She felt bad and she bought one from one kid. Mm. And they were like a bunch of pigeons, man. Oh, they surrounded her.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not kidding you. There was probably like 20 kids around her.
Money, money, money.
And she could not walk away without giving every kid a dollar or a quarter or something.
Whatever it was. You know? Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And that's, I think, the experience that maybe you were referring to before is like there are those times when you're out and people are looking to take advantage or get money from a tourist. But in general, I think the hospitality industry, whether it's hotel service or bar service or whatever restaurants, they feel that you're generous by giving and providing tips.
Or in England or Ireland, for example, at the end when you're going to pay your tab, you'll say put one on for yourself. So whatever you drink, you'll drink at the end of your shift, and that's kind of your tip. Okay. And that's the way they do.
Oh,
it.
That's
cool.
The
way they do it. That's like Vegas. Oh. Like when you tip. They like it better.
So they'll give themselves a lap dance after their own shift.
That's crazy.
There you go.
That's insane.
They like it better when you, and this is what I've been told, when you give them, like, for example, if you're playing craps, instead of throwing them the money, that you put it on a number so that it's, that $5 could turn into $30.
Yeah, whatever, I was doing that on roulette with their tip.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, they're like, put it on this or that.
Yeah, yeah. You just say, this one's for the house, and you throw it to wherever you want them to put it on the table.
And then it hits every time. It's crazy.
Does it?
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, shocker.
So I don't remember that happening with my tips, but
that's awesome.
This episode is brought to you by Horror in Clay. Collectors of horror-themed art with a tropical twist will already be familiar with the artistic work and madcap visions of Jonathan M. Chaffin of Horror in Clay, maker of fine horror-themed tiki mugs, art, and ephemera. Their creatively conceived and expertly executed themed offerings inspired by horror literature and pop culture can be purchased individually or in matched sets, including such items as mugs, maps, cards, T-shirts, and more. Check out their website, horrorinclay.com, for more information, or follow them on Instagram at horrorinclay.
Yeah.
Is it shot time?
Yeah, let's do a shot.
Yep, I think that's a great idea.
Yep, let's do shot.
Right, maybe try this.
Remind me what we're drinking again.
This is aguardiente, which is the national spirit of Colombia.
Okay.
Scotty's going to pour. He's going to select one of the other four left.
Where did I put my shot glass?
Cristal.
I'll take one of these. Thank you.
And afterwards, we have a Scorpion Bowl IPA that just came out.
Yeah.
Scorpion Bowl IPA.
Yep, from Stone in San Diego. Like a professional.
Makes me want to pee.
Makes me want to party.
Pee for party.
Pee for party.
Party, party,
party. All right, gentlemen. All
right, saludo.
Cheers.
Salute.
Cheers.
Salute. Gentlemen, pleasure.
So smooth.
Yes, smooth.
Yeah, this stuff goes down way too easy.
Yes. Anisi.
So, that's it reminds me.
What they used to say about you, Adrian.
Bah, 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 bah. Wah, wah, wah. It reminds me, in my 20s, I used to hang out at this bar in Santa Monica. And
the Eagle.
Was that in the 60s?
Yeah. In the 50s. And
Don the Beachcombers?
Don the Beachcombers. I wish Don Beachcomber was still alive.
I wish he was still alive.
And we used to drink these Romana Sambuca shots that we'd put them under our tongue and light them on fire, right?
Oh, Jesus.
And did you ever see anybody do that before?
I've done that before.
Yes.
Yeah, or the Sambuca where you stick it to yourself when it's on fire and it sticks to your body.
No.
You light on fire and then you put it on your stomach and the shot glass will suction in and you can move around.
I've never seen that before. Really?
We can do it later. We'll take our shirts off. I've been waiting for this part all the whole day.
That's the only reason I'm here.
All right. Hickey shots. And that's forehead. What the taste reminds me of, this Sambuca.
Sambuca, anise. It tastes like aquavit almost as well, a little bit.
Yeah. I mean,
Ouzo, God, was, Ouzo from Greece. Yeah,
in my 20s, man, I drank all those douchebag drinks. So I was drinking that and Goldschlager and Jägermeister. And
still do.
Oh, God, man. I mean, like, I like to think that my palate's a little more refined. Because back then, it was just about getting drunk, right? Long Island iced teas.
It still is for me.
What's wrong with that?
Don't judge, Adrian.
Now, do you guys get those kind of drink orders at Dirty Dick?
What's that?
Like Long Island iced teas or Sex on the Beach. Or
adios, motherfuckers.
Adios, mother. Kamikaze shots.
Okay, I've been bartending, 18 years, and I've definitely know the specs on most of those drinks. That's what we were making, back in the day.
Straight trash.
Right.
Straight trash.
You can make them.
But depending on if I have the ingredients, I've made maybe a couple Long Islands, but no one goes in there to have that,
So I don't know if it was...
I'm going to bring my own.
I'll make
them
a good one, though.
I don't know if it's the bars that I was hanging out at in my 20s or if that was the trend in the 90s, but where I go now, no one orders those kind of drinks.
But you can still go to, in Paris as well, the pubs and get a Sex on the Beach or a Pacific Iced Tea or whatever. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you call them adios motherfuckers here.
Right.
I mean, you can still go to a bar where people only drink those.
Yep.
Okay. So maybe I'm just too old and I don't hang out in those kind of bars anymore.
You're not cool anymore.
No. No, I know that, man. Once I had teenagers, man, they remind me all the time.
I was going to say they remind you, I'm sure.
They remind me all the time.
For us, it was the caipirinha and the mojito, which is
right. Yeah.
That's what, made it to how I could buy my bar because I sold so many of those drinks. And we'll have an occasional mojito, and I'm like, you should try this Missionary Downfall.
Yeah.
Or else well, if the they only say they want it, then I'll make it. You know, mojito's good if you make it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I love mojitos. But the Missionary's Downfall, the only difference is the rum, right?
No, there's fresh, there's honey.
If you call seven, pineapple, if you call seven other ingredients, the only difference, then yes.
And creme de piche. Shout out creme de piche.
Okay, okay.
What?
What an amazing drink. But I actually blend my Missionary Downfalls, yep. And the original is shaken.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a great frozen
is
drink.
Is it shaken?
Yeah.
I thought that it was...
stirred.
Yeah, because you got to muddle the mint
or stirred,
right?
Shaken, excuse me. Yeah, well, but I blend mine so turn it frozen.
Okay.
Ish. And it blends up the mint, and then you end up eating the mint too, which is great.
Yeah.
Also, our painkiller is blended.
Really?
Yeah, I think it tastes 1,000 times better.
That's not tiki.
Here we go. I put salt in it too. Actually, the pina colada is not a tiki drink. It's a tropical drink.
Yes, you're right.
Can I get mine with the salt rim, please?
And the same with the mojito, right?
It's a Cuban classic.
There you go.
I see it on YouTube.
When I was in Puerto Rico, I went to the Bacardi factory and did the tour just like every other tourist.
Fake.
I'm just kidding.
And I got to be honest with you.
I wish Tupac was still alive.
I got to be honest with you, man. It changed the way that I looked at the brand because it was very entertaining and very historical. And
but the original pina colada was with Don Q. Shout out to Don Q.
Yeah. No. I'm not saying the pina colada. It was the mojito. So they said that that Bacardi invented three drinks. The mojito, the daiquiri, and the Cuba Libre. And they said, technically speaking, you cannot call it those names if you don't use Bacardi rum.
Fake news.
So, yeah, I don't know if it's fake or not, but that's what they said on the tour. So,
straight trash.
And the guy who made them, he made them in this like 1920s style Art Deco bar that they kind of recreated. You know, it's all part of the tour. And it was pretty cool. And
they also make a rum called Havana Club that's made in Puerto Rico.
Well, the Havana Club is made in the old Bacardi factory in Cuba, right? But they also make it in Puerto Rico? Is what you're saying?
No. Bacardi actually makes Havana Club in Puerto Rico because they own the name to Havana Club in the States, and they don't want them to come in to the and use their name.
Oh, I didn't know
here.
That. Okay.
So if it ever became legal with the embargo, they have to call it. I think Habanista was the name they were going to use.
Okay.
Because Bacardi owns the name Havana Club.
Are they using the same yeast that Havana Club is using? They're using their own yeast. It's just Bacardi.
Yeah.
Okay. Because when they were in Cuba. So this is all part of the tour, right? This is the story that they presented. 75 years after having been in Cuba, they fled, and that factory is where Havana Club's being made today.
I went to a few... I mean, it's made in a few places. I actually went to one of the old Bacardi buildings. It's down... It's right by Florida, which is... It's a beautiful building. It's got the bat on the top, and you can actually... pay the security guard and he'll let you go to the roof. It's really beautiful.
Okay.
Right
next to Floridita. This is in Cuba.
It's shout out to Floridita.
Shout out to the daiquiri.
To the daiquiri.
The daiquiri frappe.
So you went there.
Yeah, I've been a few times. I actually helped open a cocktail bar in Havana.
Oh.
It's called La Rita. It's one of the most famous restaurants in Cuba. And they brought me and Andy Loudon out from London. And we did some trainings for the Cantinarios. And then we ended up, you know, making their cocktail menu, which they're used to this day, up on the roof.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
Wow. Pretty cool.
That was a big... it's a great city.
Adrian, have you been?
Not to Cuba. I keep... saying that I'm going to go. I know a bunch of people that have gone.
You've got to go, man. It's amazing.
I mean,
man.
Don went there for inspiration. Trader Vic went there for inspiration. Right. And the minute I got off the plane, I felt exactly why and how they were inspired by this.
Yeah, the energy.
Which you could
amazing.
Say about a lot of other places as well.
Sure,
of course, it's all an experience. But like the smell and everything right when I got off the airplane, it's an amazing, magical place.
I know quite a few people have gone. I just haven't gone. Now, I've gotten... my Havana Club, which was, it's okay. I mean, it's not bad. It's not great. It's kind of middle of the road for me. and I overpaid for it just because I can't get it here, right? So actually, the last two bottles that
Did
I bought
you have the three, the seven, or the
I got the three and the seven.
Okay, I think the three makes a great. It's column still, you know, but I think it makes a great daiquiri. It's very grassy.
Okay,
it works fine for me. I like their Selection de Maestro and the new one, the Union, which is a.
I paid out of my ass for it.
Really?
For which one?
I could have brought you bottles for free.
Oh, that would have been great. Yeah, the last time I got it was. Though,
I actually use it as my well.
last time I got those two bottles were when I was in the Cook Islands. And I looked all over the islands. That whole week I was there, I looked all over the islands. I couldn't find it anywhere. They have nothing but shit booze on that.
You should buy it in Mexico.
Well, I haven't been to Mexico in a long time. The next time I'm there, I will. But
we'll go see a donkey show together.
But, but I happened to, when I was in the Cook Islands, I thought, let me get some while I'm here. I ended up buying it in the airport just because I felt like I had to bring some home. And, you know.
I think I've got some.
And I knew I was overpaying for it. But
some Selección here if we...
Yeah, Selection's great. The Selection of Maestro.
That might be the next shot, yeah.
It's pretty good.
All right. So where are we at right now? We had two shots, a beer. How many beers have you had, Scotty? You on two?
This trip?
37.
I've only had one so far.
Let's get you let's dip into the Stone. So we got a little
and then, so we're going to dip into Stone now. Right? So this is going to be number 4 for me. So, and I'm still holding strong cuz I went to the Chinese buffet this morning and I loaded up.
You're ready to rock.
Did you tell me you knew the owner?
Yeah, I knew the owner and I expected to eat for free.
Free chow mein afterwards.
That's right.
All right, so we got a little let's see here.
Let's pop that open.
I'll pop it open, the little Stone Scorpion Bowl IPA.
Amazing.
Now, where did you get that?
So we were doing a little
hot rod tour. It was amazing.
Hot rod tour, yeah. So we got to get into the Scotty Gustavo creation story. But one of the things we did on this trip is
that the love child, Scotty Gustavo?
You'll find out next year, maybe
in about 11 months. Yeah. So let's. This is a Scorpion Bowl IPA.
It sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, it might be straight trash, but we'll find
Stone
out.
Stone makes good beer. I don't see.
No, they make great beer, but I don't know what this will. What will
it's
do.
Not a. It's not a.
The description gives us. No
it's not
idea.
A frog town.
If you read the back, though, it doesn't. It doesn't talk about the Scorpion nothing. Bowl or the lineage or anything. Which
can you reach it?
It says nothing about what the beer might be. So let me finish pouring this one, and we'll do an excerpt. Of the label.
I find it interesting that they called it a Scorpion Bowl.
Yeah, me too. That's why I was very curious to try this.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to learn. So a quick excerpt from the
subtitle B.
Yes.
From the back of the bottle.
Appendage A. So let's see here. And so it was there.
Very poetic.
Where the ancient ritual drums could be heard past the tropical sands. Deep in the jungle.
This is bullshit, man. When did she take her top off?
My pants are off. That would make me feel cold. So either way, it says nothing.
It's very poetic, though.
It says nothing about what the flavor profile is.
You know what it reminds me of is when I was in fifth grade and I had to write a book report. I'd open up the book and I would take that, you know, that inner sleeve that had the summary.
Yep.
And I would copy that. And I thought I was being slick, right?
Yes. Quick story, my niece just got busted for that.
No shit.
Did she really? Yeah.
She got sent home.
I was
for
a kid.
They're like, come on, man. You think you're the first one to do that?
Yep, right. All right, cheers, boys.
All right, cheers. All right,
cheers.
Salud.
Salud. Salud. Interesting. So, here's the thing about Stone.
I'm not finding Scorpion Bowl, though.
I don't find Scorpion Bowl.
I don't get any hints of cognac, gin, or rum.
That almond texture,
I wish Tupac was still
orange and lime.
That aftertaste is, it's very much their fingerprint.
Yes.
I taste that in all their beers.
Yes. Yeah, it'll get you.
It's good.
Well, it even it's like 7%, but it says, oh, there we go, a punch to the stinger.
A punch in the nuts.
That's what she said.
Nico doesn't even like it.
Nico thinks it's straight trash. No, it's not bad.
Nico wishes Tupac was still alive. No, it's good, but it tastes like just your IPA. If I'm gonna say something,
it's a bit sweet.
There's a little sweetness,
right?
Like if you were to force yourself to think about it, there's like a bit of coconut on the front end, like a little.
Okay, now I'm gonna try
like
it again.
A little, but that's it, and it goes right into like an IPA, which isn't bad. Like,
but there's no coconut in a scorpion bowl.
That's
I'm
no,
just saying.
No, for sure. Well, the way I make them,
I make mine with Midori.
Midori scorpion bowl.
Yeah.
I like mine with alizé personally.
For a split second there, I wanted to order that.
Right?
Yeah. Midori old fashions for everybody.
All right, let me ask you. This is a stupid question because I don't know. And I'm going to sound really stupid right now, but I'm going to ask anyway.
That's okay.
So when you make your scorpion bowl, is it the same drink if I ordered a scorpion?
It's pretty close. I think the scorpion cocktail has...
It goes in a different
So I
cup.
Guess it wasn't I as dumb of a question as I
say
thought.
It has sherry in it, question I mark. Believe. Is the only other addition in the
okay.
scorpion cocktail.
So the scorpion cocktail is different than what I'm drinking from a scorpion bowl.
Well, then, and what you're drinking right now.
This is a
and this is an IPA.
Right, right.
Well, we've got a bowl over there, so I'm sure.
Well, we have all the ingredients.
Scotty.
So we can throw this in a bowl?
Scotty. No, Scotty's going to hook it up real quick.
We've been buying bottles acquiring. The last few days, so we have all the bottles to make a really
kick-ass scavenging the city.
Oh, shit, man. What are we what are we waiting for?
We have nothing but the right. hits over here.
All right. So we'll wait. We just started. This is my fourth, other than the two shots, this would be my second beer. But it's not really a
Tell
beer.
It to
it's
the
only
judge.
Like a small.
Exactly. Right. I've only had 7 drinks, officer. But right. I've had 12
it's okay. shirts. Well, I was doing a podcast. It's okay.
Right? We cool.
Oh.
This episode is brought to you in part by Steadfast Pomade. Steadfast Pomade is a strong-holding, medium-bodied, water-based styling product for men and women, which leaves your hair looking slick, neat, and shiny with a clean, fresh scent. Its unique formula allows you to easily restyle your hair throughout the day and washes out with ease. Steadfast Pomade is American-made and veteran-owned. Available in Original and Anchor Hold. Get yours today at steadfastpomade.com. Tame the waves and keep it steadfast. This episode is also sponsored by the Tiki Tea. Founded in 1961, the Tiki Tea is a family-owned and operated tropical drink bar practicing the lost art of exotic cocktail mixing. Come try their house specialty, the Ray's Mistake, a delicious concoction of botanic liqueurs, passion fruit, gin, and rum for only $6 on Wednesdays until 9 p.m. The Tiki Tea is located at 4427 Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, California. For more information, check out their website, tiki-ti.com. The Tiki Tea, Round zero for tropical drinks.
Alrighty. We're talking about creation stories, weren't we? What were we saying? Something about...
When a man loves a woman...
When two people really like each other, there's a special hug.
Penis in the vagina.
See, everybody has a baseball bat, and every girl has a catcher's mitt.
Let's play ball.
And the goal is to get the ball from the bat to the catcher's mitt.
And then you have a baby 9 months later. Right?
And then you open a tiki bar.
That's what happened to me.
Oh, yeah, creation story. That's what it was. Okay, so let's talk culture, graffiti, 80s rock, hot rods, 50s.
All right, let's
tiki,
talk about that.
Alcohol. All in one.
Sounds amazing.
Yes, please. Stop it some more. I was in France. I was in Europe 3.5 years ago or so. And a buddy of mine who's a really good friend and in my car club, or our car club, not mine, but we were.
But aren't you the president?
Well, yeah. Let's say mine.
So it's yours.
President, also a client.
It's yours.
Exactly.
They played those commercials in France too.
A patron and a president.
I grew up in Victorville. Sorry.
Yeah. My bad. So we were in Europe and my buddy George sends me a message through Facebook, like, hey man, what's up? Like, you know, where are you at? I know you're in Europe. I'm like, just got to Paris. And he's like, oh, cool. He's like, you got to look up my friend. He's in Paris and, you know, he sounds like a cool dude or whatever. I'm like, okay, cool.
Fake news.
Yeah. What? Yeah, exactly.
And then he met me. He was like, this guy's a scumbag.
On Craigslist. So I said,
back page.
What do you mean by he seems like a good dude? He's your buddy. He's like, oh no, I just met him on Facebook. So I got a lead on a guy who lives in Paris and knows the cocktail scene. Huh. And he wanted me to Facebook friend him. And I'm like, that's weird, man. Like, this is not, like, no. But I did it anyway. And sure enough, he ended up being a really cool dude. And he was, at the time, Scotty's roommate.
And all this time, I thought he was talking about Scotty.
No, no, no. No, Scotty's an asshole.
I would say more scumbag than asshole, but
this is true. He's a scumhole.
And he was your roommate.
He's very much into tiki. Used to work at Trailer Happiness.
Okay.
And his whole life, he's dedicated to keeping the tiki culture alive and however he can do that.
He's an enthusiast.
Yeah, tiki culture, 50s vibe, a hot rod scene. He's in all that, which is how...
He's got big tattoos.
He does have big tattoos. So we connected, and he was just a genuine guy, back to hospitality. Didn't know me from anybody. Really didn't know George. It just said they had met online. I don't think his wife knows this.
I think they're FaceTiming each other, but he had sounds a bit suspect to me.
So he had met a man online, and George was happy, so he wanted to refer him to me. And we hung out, and just genuine dude. Showed us around Paris via a cocktail hopping. And the last spot we ended up at was at Dirty Dick.
Wah, 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 wah.
That was the beginning of the end. So we hung out, and Scotty and I started catching up on...
Catching up means drinking rum, right?
Actually, body shots. So we're doing body shots. And what's the one you just talked about? The body shot that goes on the
flaming Sambuca that you can stick to your stomach.
Or forehead or neck.
It's amazing.
I know what we're having next.
We got to put one of those on you, Gustavo.
Let's do it. I'm in. They don't call me Apps of Steel for nothing.
Then we can take our shirts off.
What's wrong with that?
It's funny was, you know how I met Scotty? Was because George said,
there you go.
Scotty walked into the Tiki Tea, right?
Yeah.
And then George taps me and he goes, hey, that dude, that's Dirty Dick. He called you Dirty Dick.
I hadn't showered in a few days.
And I said, really?
It was a long flight.
And because I didn't know what Scotty looked like, right? He goes, yeah, that's Dirty Dick. And I said, really? And so I said, hey, man, are you Dirty Dick?
That's awesome.
And he said, yes.
That's great.
And I didn't know what he was talking about.
The answer is always yes.
I felt like, wow, I need to go to the show.
Well, like, what's funny was that, because, you know, I'm always thinking of the podcast. So I'm like, would you be on my podcast? And he's like, yeah, sure. And less than 24 hours later, or 12 hours later, I'm fucking sitting in the backyard.
We're giving each other's hand jobs.
Right? It was Buddy's house.
That's a really good
I could have gotten robbed, right? They could have jumped me or whatever, right?
I wish Don the Beachcomber was still alive.
Like, 12 hours before, I just asked him if he was Dirty Dick. 12 hours later, he was on the podcast. So that was actually kind of interesting. That was cool, though. So thanks. Cool. Thanks for doing that.
Totally. I love what you're doing. You're doing a great job.
It was funny. Thanks. I appreciate that. It's funny because I was like, oh, dude, we got to take a picture because I need a picture for, you know, when I post the episode, I got to put a picture up there. Also, sure. Just has that, you know, insert picture here.
Right.
Icon, right?
It's kind of cool, too.
Which is, yeah.
Yeah.
Certain. Je ne sais quoi.
And Scotty was wearing this soccer shirt. And he goes, oh, I kept apologizing for a soccer shirt. Do you remember that? You're like, oh, God, I'm wearing this fucking soccer shirt. I just came from this party and blah, blah,
is
blah,
it
blah,
Mexico,
blah.
Mexico, the national team? Is that what
No, mean? No. It's actually a Paris third division team.
That's what I said.
Sorry. I wasn't listening.
No, that's it. That's the end of my story.
Don't correct me.
I got nothing else. Great, but when you say Paris, though, does it make you feel weird to say it that way? Do you feel like you're pronouncing it?
Paris?
Yeah.
It's better if you want me to talk like this.
Well, no, I'm curious how assimilated you are now to Paris.
I surrender all the time now. Anytime anyone wants to get in a fight with me, I just surrender. And I'm like, I'll speak whatever language you want me to speak.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
German. Can you speak French?
Very badly.
Define.
But, okay.
I mean, it's 20 years in June. I've been there so I'll be speaking French and, you know, someone will say, wow, you speak really great French. How long have you been here? It's 20 years, and they're like, your French is fucking horrible. What's wrong with you? Massacring our language, you piece of shit. True story. Shout out to the French people.
So, yeah, back to the creation story. Fast forward.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I interrupt you?
Yeah, but this is my podcast, right?
Takeover.
I'm pretty bad at interrupting people.
It's a takeover.
Exactly. The Tiki Takeover.
It's my equipment now.
Tiki Takeover.
Hey, we're at Rancho de la Rojas right now. So
thank you.
Coming in next.
I'm glad you brought it up. So fast forward to this trip. Scotty's, we've been hanging out and just doing whatever whatever we want.
Very heavily.
Yeah, whatever we want, alcohol-based. And today was, because especially with the weather, the last couple of days it's been raining.
In Los Angeles, California.
.com. And today was a gorgeous day. So we just hung out, had lunch, and then took the hot rod out to cruise. And we're just cruising Sunset Boulevard, Hollywood Boulevard, and just bar hop in.
Oh, nice.
And then one of the bars we stopped at, Sunset Beer Company, had 1,000 beers, but one of the ones I've been wanting to try is this the Scorpion IPA, which is good, but it's good. It's just not. It's not.
I don't know why you'd use that name.
Right,
is the only thing.
Right, did you buy it at that bar?
I did. Yeah.
So they sell bottles there too.
Yeah, it's a dope spot.
It's a dope spot. Like you have really? Maybe 200 different beers.
Shoot,
you
can drink them. I don't know about this spot. I gotta go check it out.
Let's do it. Yeah, in a great little lounge. So you can there's a dozen beers on tap.
Okay.
And then another aspect, part of the same bar, but you can buy beer to go.
Nice.
Couple hundred, 200-300 beers.
And you can play games. They were playing a game as well and just chill out, like couches and random love chairs and things like that.
Yeah, it was
really
cool.
Nice spot.
Yeah, real cool. Yeah. So I grabbed the bottle for the podcast, and here we are.
Sweet. But this Frogtown Kinky Blonde is amazing. Great beer.
Good man.
Yeah, Kinky. It
tastes
blonde
kinky.
Ale?
You can taste all the kinky in it.
I can taste the
it's
kinky.
It's fruit forward.
Is this a new one?
But robust.
Is this a new one? Because I don't remember seeing... Oh, I had this. I had this a couple weeks ago.
It's a staple of ours. The beer itself is, but this is a brand new can.
The can, yeah, because I've never seen the yellow label before.
Correct, yeah, brand new label,
yeah,
brand new can.
But I was
can.
Drinking that. I did drink that a couple weeks ago.
For sure. Yeah, it's been around. It's a staple.
Yeah. You should... what other ones are you bought... I'm sorry. What other ones are you canning?
So far, we have the... Hazy River IPA. We did our seasonal Broken Vessel Pumpkin Ale, and then this is our third.
But is it still in season?
No, I'm talking about all the canning we've done.
Okay.
Currently,
this is the third.
Currently
one,
in stock is only the blonde.
Okay,
those are the three that we've.
Oh, so this is the third one that you've ever canned. Okay,
yeah, for
interesting.
Sure. For sure.
I had the pumpkin at home. It went fast.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
good. Really,
it's
really
gone.
Good.
It's gone. It was good stuff.
Thank you.
I think I got it the week before Christmas or something, and so Christmas it was gone.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yep. Really, really good.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we're at an hour and a half, so maybe it's a good time to wrap.
Good time to start drinking.
Wrap it up, B.
Before we wrap it up, let's promote your guys' brands. So let's talk about how people can find Dirty Dick.
Well, there's a lot of ways these days you can find Dirty Dick. But if you're ever in Paris, feel free to stop by. We're open 7 days a week. Come in looking for free drinks. Come in and have a Scorpion Bowl IPA.
That's for Ralph.
Midori. And Malibu. Grenadine.
And then get all that without tipping.
Yeah. And then don't leave us a tip. Maybe. And then steal the Scorpion Bowl on the way out, please. You can find us 7 days a week. Thank you. Mahalo.
Do you want to throw out the address and website or anything like that?
We know everybody's got smartphones. We're up in Pigalle. We're very easy to find.
Okay, cool.
IG or
we Instagram. Actually won the 9th most Instagram cocktail in the world, and we don't even have an Instagram.
Really?
Yeah,
sick.
I'm really slipping on that.
Sick.
I feel
that's
very
not
bad. You know,
that's
all
awesome.
All the cool kids are doing it, and I'm not. So I know I'm not cool, but I need to really get on top of that.
No, the
IG
cool
stuff.
The cool kids aren't doing Instagram. They're
the,
all
the coolest all, kids don't have Instagram.
I think they're doing Snapchat.
I Snapchat all that stuff. And
right.
We have a Facebook page, so that's that's technical enough for me.
It was updated in 1994, I think.
All right.
I still have a MySpace page if you want to check me out.
Come at me.
I have some music I made when I was 13. You should check it out.
All right, cool, man. Dirty Dick Paris. Look him up on Facebook, and maybe you won't find him on Instagram. So, and then Frogtown Brewery. Let's give Frogtown a shout out.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah, Frogtown Brewery in the Elysian Valley neighborhood of LA, otherwise known as Frogtown. We're on Instagram at Frogtown Beer. The little engine that could is what I call it. You know, slow and steady, we're growing.
The little engine that is.
Good man. Thank you.
Awesome, man. My favorite brewery in the whole wide world.
I appreciate it.
I have to put second on that.
True. Yeah,
right?
True.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Good beer, good staff. Go in.
Good vibes, good energy.
Steal a mug.
Yeah. Steal a growler.
take anything you want.
Don't
tip the bartender. Take a growler.
Grab anything you want. It doesn't matter. We're going to rebuild it anyway.
Have a shot. There you go. Midori.
And for all you listeners out there, if you guys want to leave a shout out or you got any questions, you want to suggest any future guests, check us out on Facebook at our group page, Inside the Desert Oasis Room, or find us on Instagram at Polynesian Pop. We're going to go have a scorpion bowl right now, right? Or what are we doing? Mai Tais?
We're going to do Mai Tais.
We're going to have a Mai Tais right now.
So, Adrian, if I may, before you cut us off.
Yes, sir.
The only reason we're here, well, we is a...
And your tab that you left in there. Exactly. Well,
is my picture still by the register?
I ran his credit card, so we're good now. The only reason Scotty and I agreed to this is because we wanted to do the cheesiest...
Are you guys going to sing a song or something?
No, I wish I could.
I'm going to beatbox.
The cheesiest radio voices we can. So I'm going to start off and I'm going to say, right. This is the plug. So you can.
Go ahead.
I'm going to wait a couple seconds in between it so you can edit it later. But here goes. Inside the Desert Oasis Room podcast. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and website. And a screen near you.
Very nice.
That was great. That's beautiful. I don't think I can show up to that.
I'm going to go home and masturbate to that.
I'm masturbating right now.
I just did.
And I'd also like to say thank you, Adrian. You're doing a great job with this podcast. It's blooming into amazing things. And I think all your listeners out there are really happy with what you're doing. We are. And thank you for letting us do this. It's
really absolutely. Awesome.
Appreciate the very nice words there, Scotty. Thank you so much. And, you know, I love you guys. I think you guys are doing great things as well. You guys have businesses that I would support 100% and send all my friends to. So keep doing what you're doing.
And
if I ever get to Paris.
Gustavo's Bar is in Tiki, though.
If I ever get to Paris,
define Tiki.
Is it tropical?
We have wood.
We have... Which bar are we talking about? The bar here or Frogtown?
Which one?
Oh, yeah.
The one that's not Tiki. Neither of them.
I don't know a lot. Of, some people would
Adrian brings up a good point.
How much sugar do you put in your rum? That's another thing I need to know.
Yes. The home bar, that's podcast number 3, the Rojas State.
Well, wait a second. How many times have we had Gustavo on the show? This is your third time,
it's
right?
My 17th time.
17th time.
Oh,
there you go.
Actually, you're right. This is my third time. I didn't think about that. Right?
Wow.
We were at George's...
Yeah, we did a Voodoo Disciples one, right?
Voodoo Disciples. No, it was... Well, Voodoo Disciples, George's...
Yeah, we had you and Chris and George and...
George's home bar. Yeah, that's right. Right.
And then we did one at the brewery.
I'm old hat.
Right. He's the Paul Lind of the podcast.
Wow.
Center Square.
Yeah, Center Square. What's the other guy? That's a bad reference. The guy on the talk show that's the go-to when people flake.
Oh, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Born Identity. What's his name? Matt Damon.
Oh, Matt Damon
whoever that the
to Jimmy Kimmel. Maybe Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
He's been like 87 times or something. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he lives like 3 miles from the studio.
He's like, all right, I'll come.
Sure.
Let me clear my schedule.
How much beer? Got it.
Right. There you go.
That was me.
All right, folks, it's Mai Tai time, so we're getting out of here. But again, support my friends here, Frogtown Brewery and Dirty Dick in Paris, France, and give them some likes on their there's no Instagram page.
You don't need
page,
to like me. I'm a scumbag.
Give them some likes. Give them some business if you're ever in the areas.
Frogtown Dick Restaurant. Look for it.
2019 downtown LA.
Spring 2019 downtown.
Maybe
downtown.
We can get some frog dick shirts or something made or stickers.
Special
or something.
Edition. We'll have Bai do that.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
We'll make really small tiki shot mugs.
Frog steal, dick mugs.
Steal all of them. We don't care.
And then you'll steal them. Don't tip us on the way out.
There you go.
All right. Discount.
Mahalo. Thank you very much.
Mahalo. Cheers,
Cheers.
Everybody.
Salute.
Bye.
Salute.